This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Trump and the First Lady being welcomed at Windsor Castle. That's the music for President Trump's second state visit. ABC's Mary Bruce, also in Windsor.
President Trump was here for an official state visit back in 2019, but it is an incredibly rare honor to have a second official visit like this, something not seen in modern times. But the UK, well aware that President Trump greatly enjoys and values these kinds of displays and that they can be a potent diplomatic tool.
Right now, they're in a carriage procession through Windsor. The 22-year-old man charged with murdering Charlie Kirk in court for the first time yesterday, Tyler Robinson, said to have been texting his roommate with whom he was involved romantically just after the fatal shooting. Israeli troops continue pushing deeper into Gaza City, marking the second day of ground offensives there. Hundreds of thousands of civilians are still in Gaza City amid famine and buildings in rubble. This is ABC News.
1490 WLCX, real news and great conversation for La Crosse and home for the Tom Hallball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Could Wisconsin State Capitol see additional security? That's what some lawmakers are proposing. With more, here's Civic Media's Savannah Toma-Yulson.
Wisconsin lawmakers are again talking about their safety after the assassination of right-wing figure Charlie Kirk. Kirk was shot and killed from 200 yards away during a speech in Utah on Wednesday. And months ago, Minnesota State Representative Melissa Hortman and her husband were gunned down in their home, while another state rep and his wife were shot. Assembly Minority Leader Democrat Greta Neubauer says security decisions are in the hands of Republicans.
Given the recent rise in political violence, of course, this is top of mind for many of our colleagues and, of course, the staff who work in the Capitol as well, the press, the guests, the children that come through this building on Capitol visits. So it's an ongoing conversation, and we hope to continue that with our Republican colleagues who, of course, control the safety in our chambers, as well as the other entities in the Capitol.
Assembly Speaker Robin Voss says he's open to lawmakers using funding for their offices to increase security at their homes.
I am very confident in the police force that we have inside the Capitol. If you look at the incidents that have occurred, frankly, when you look at Minnesota, it was in their homes. If you look at what happened yesterday with Charlie Kirk, it was in a public venue on a campus. So the idea that we're somehow going to fortify a single building to make people feel safer when the reality is that most of the violence that has occurred has not been inside a government building, it's been outside or at people's home. One of the things we have talked about is the possibility of people having using their office account for security at their home. You know, if they want to do that, I'm open to that idea.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei-Olson.
A proposal in the last legislative session failed to advance to a vote. Download the free Civic Media app now at civicmedia.us/app. For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
The magic number is 7. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers host the LA Angels again tonight. Last night, the crew with a 9-2 win. Christian Yelich, a 2-run homer in the 4th. Now, 7 is the Brewers' magic number to clinch the division, but Yelly says it's still too early for all that right now.
Yeah, I mean, we just need to focus on winning that night, like not even thinking about like the magic number. We need to just keep stacking wins and playing good baseball, and that'll take care of itself. You can't do that in one night. When you start looking ahead, then things can get away from you a little bit.
College football, the Badgers, getting ready to host Maryland Saturday at Camp Randall, kickoff 11 a.m. NFL, Packers wide receiver Jaden Reed confirming he's now had surgery to repair his broken collarbone and foot fracture. Meanwhile, Christian Watson says his new contract extension takes some pressure off as he tries to come back from that torn ACL.
For me, I mean, it was really just to, you know, take that pressure off of myself so I can kind of just go out there when I get back and just play free.
That's Packers wide receiver Christian Watson with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You're listening to 1490 WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
We do have a chance of scattered showers or a thunderstorm today, otherwise partly cloudy with a high right around 85 this afternoon. Tonight, a few scattered thunderstorms possible with a low dropping to around 63. Tomorrow, more scattered thunderstorms with a high of 82. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 66.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Frank Herman's.
When we moved here, I called the Y because my daughter was like, I don't know, 7 years old. I said, hey, I'm calling about your beginner's gymnastics class. I'm 40 years old. I've never had a gymnastics class. So do you think I should start there? Frank, I get nothing.
Kidding me?
On the other end, it's just silence.
Even after she knew I was kidding.
You should
like,
tape that.
Come on. And I did take the class and I did really well.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Maggie Dawn.
At 5 o'clock, I'll be joined by the general that helped save New Orleans, General Russell Honoré. He's a decorated 37-year Army veteran. We'll talk to him about the impacts the Trump regime has had on our armed services.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, LaCrosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back. Nice to have you here up north on this September 17th, Wednesday morning, September 17. Keep that number 17 in mind as we talk to our next guest, Corrine Hendrickson, about the 17th State Senate District. Details to come right after Brittany's weather. And then in our next hour at 8:35, we will be talking to State Representative Francesca Hong, who announced this morning that she too will be running for Wisconsin governor next year. So we have a gubernatorial candidate coming up in our 8 o'clock hour. And that's not all. There's also tomorrow we'll be talking with former Racine Alderman Trevor Young, who has just announced his candidacy for the state Senate in the 21st district, the seat held since 2010, I believe, by Republican Van Wongard. So a lot to cover this week with the change of seasons, not just, you know, back to school, not just fall campaign season as well. But let's get to the fall part of the season with meteorologist Brittany Merlot, who joins us along with Parker Olson, who's producing things down at Madison Studio A2. And I did not realize, because it's now it's dark at the start of the show here, so the show is well underway for me to notice it is really foggy up here on Lake Wissota this morning. Is that something we're seeing all over the place?
Yeah, definitely up north right now, dense fog from Eau Claire through Hayward into Ashland and Superior. That's going to be here for about another hour or two. Temperatures, too, right now in the mid-50s to mid-60s across the state. We're also seeing a few thunderstorms starting right now, pretty much from Amory through Rice Lake, and that could extend towards the Minocqua area, too. We have a front just sitting here over the northern part of the state this morning. So that's kind of the case as we go through the next day. This front is going to slowly make its way south through the state, and then the system, the low pressure itself, will eventually move into the state for the weekend. So yes, wet weather ahead and cooler temperatures too, but not today. We're still looking very warm across the state, low to mid 80s everywhere. Some of us will be nearing 90 once again. It will be a sunny day, especially south into Madison and Milwaukee. Clouds will be increasing though west and north throughout the afternoon. Drizzle is possible far southwest midday. And then we're looking at more small storms sparking up again this evening, especially northeast in our state. And then tomorrow, cooler, slightly cooler, especially north, only mid-60s up north. 80s will still be felt down south tomorrow. Scattered spotty showers are expected kind of statewide, very isolated, very brief and small. But chances for sunshine still hang on into Madison and Milwaukee until the weekend. That's when that low pressure system arrives. So heavier rain and storms on the way.
Conceivably, today and tomorrow could mark the last of the mid-80s.
It could.
It yes, could. It could. Unless we get a nice little warm spell in October, which does happen, by the way.
It does. Even in November, it's happened. So.
Yes. Okay. So shut up, Pat. Don't get ahead of yourself here. Good morning from Tigerton, writes Rob. Partly cloudy and 59 degrees. It felt a lot like mid-July rather than mid-September. Yesterday was busy mowing lawns in Wittenberg. To me, this is the first that has been actually dry. A lot of dry grass that's drying out for the first time since spring. Today, he's got a mowing job in rural Tigerton, a doctor's appointment in Shawano. And he writes, no fog in the Tigerton area. Tony writes that these 80-degree days have been killing me. It's so hot, and I refuse to turn on my air conditioner. You live on Lake Superior. You have the world's greatest air conditioner up there, Tony. The Tony also adds, it was so foggy, I could barely see the turkeys crossing the road. Unacceptable. You got to be able to see the turkeys when they're heading across.
And the deer up there.
Yes, exactly. And so that's from Tony and that's from Rob. And we'll have more from Brittany coming up in 1 hour. Brittany, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Also a note up here from our friends at Motherhood for Good who are saying good morning. I sense they maybe want to hear more from one of our next guests coming up. This is a candidate announcement kind of day, candidate announcement kind of week. You had State Senator Kelda Roys getting into the race for governor a couple days ago. I just mentioned State Representative Francesca Hong also joining the governor's race. There are state Senate candidates, one I just told you about in the Racine area, and now one potentially in the Nuclearis area, as we welcome in Corrine Hendrickson to tell us what she's going to be up to later today, former child care provider in the Nuclearis area. Corrine, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. It's still really weird to hear former in front of that.
I completely, it's weird for me to say it, and it's not something we necessarily like to dwell on, but the thing that's prompting, you know, your change in what you do on a day-to-day basis is rooted in a Wisconsin legislative leadership team that did not ever seem to take everything that you said seriously about just how serious childcare and other issues are for Wisconsin families. And so consequently, what's that meant for you? What is it that you plan to be doing throughout the day today?
So it means that I guess I have to do it myself.
There you go.
So I am officially running for State Senate District 17. That is the southwestern part of Wisconsin, which we have some really good progressive Democratic roots, and we just need to get back to them. And a lot of it comes down to the lack of affordability in our daily lives, whether it's groceries, childcare, our property taxes continuing to increase because our state refuses to invest in our public schools appropriately and instead is cutting taxes for the wealthy and to keep the powerful in power. So at 10:30 this morning, I will be launching at the Nuclearis Village Park. Super excited because in Nuclearis, it's a tradition to have elk horns and there will be elk horns there as well. So I'm hoping that lots of people will join me and support me in my newest adventure.
Those are those big Swiss horns, like everybody's going to get a Ricola lozenge or something at this point.
Maybe that should be my thing.
There you go. Instead of tossing candy at parades, you're tossing cough drops. It could be whatever works for you. Now let's take care of the elephant in the room, or shall we say the donkey, because we're going to be talking about primaries, and that 2026 is probably going to be a year unlike any other in terms of primaries. You've got an open governor's seat, an open lieutenant governor's seat, an open secretary of state seat, and you've already got three Democratic candidates announced in the third congressional district, and now you have in these state senate districts at least three different state senate districts. Now there will be primaries as well, and that includes in your district where Representative Jenna Jacobson has also already announced. In this case, let's just bring it down to this particular example in the 17th Senate District. There is a motivator for multiple Democrats to want to run, and that's because the Republican incumbent, Howard Markline, chairs the Joint Finance Committee. So, I mean, all the more motivation for Democrats to jump in, right?
Oh, absolutely. I also find it interesting that so far, Senate 17 is all women. Lisa White is also running. And the CD3, which is Van Orden's, is all women too. So I feel like there's a little bit of, women wanting to make sure that we can take care of our families and our communities and stepping up into this space. I think it's good there's a primary. I think we can, learn from each other. I think the voters have a right to choose because, we fought for gerrymandering. So that's part of why there's so many also interested. This seat is now winnable because the lack of gerrymandering. In our state, we have fair maps. But at the same time, have a robust primary because that's the way for the people to decide who they want on their their party ticket, I guess you would say. So I'm looking forward to, you know, getting to know people and proving, you know, that I'm the hardest worker and I'm the best for the position.
The comments are already coming in, including from Tony, that says it seems like a great opportunity for new faces and for new ideas as well. And now, again, I'm not looking to make Senator Howard Markline, you know, the issue is certainly not the centerpiece of your campaign, but the symbolism of a co-chair for joint finance in budgets that cycle after cycle after cycle seem to be out of sync with what he and others are hearing at all those budget public hearings around the state. Again, seems to be rather representative of why anybody is running for legislature around Wisconsin this year.
Oh, absolutely. When you look at the Joint Finance Committee hearings, when you look at the Assembly and Senate hearings in office at the Capitol, they're being told over and over and over again, this is what we want, this is what we need. And then it's they refuse to do it. 2 years ago, when they did the special session for the workforce, you know, they had 200 people send letters, 100 people show up and speak to the fact that they wanted this special session bill to pass. And after the hearing, they put an amendment in and completely gutted the whole thing. And so really, we need people that are not just going to say they're listening and that they understand there's a problem, but that they care enough to do something about it and are willing to go outside of their box that they put themselves into of their opinions of what's important to, it feels like almost it's what's important to them themselves instead of listening to what their constituents have to say.
Well, I think it's pretty clear talking to Corrine Hendrickson, state Senate candidate in the 17th district, what you're going to be hearing from Republicans and others, because, I mean, we've been hearing this for 15 years or more, and it's going to go something like this. Well, there she goes again. Here's another tax and spend liberal, and she and Tony Evers and everybody else, they just want to tax and they want to spend. And, you know, we're the ones that are holding the line on taxes. We're the ones that are holding the line on spending and being more fiscally responsible. You know, that's what you're going to hear over and over again. So now that I've teed that up, what are you going to tell the voters?
So it's more of an investment. It's more how do we spend the money that we take in for taxes. Currently, our state budgets have been to the point where they encourage the people who have the wealthy and the most money to keep as much money as possible, to hoard that money. And meanwhile, the rest of us are working as hard as we can. And we're not seeing that money. We were promised with some of these tax credits that job growth would happen, job creation would happen. We don't need to raise the minimum wage because the employers will do it automatically for us. And that's not what we're seeing. What we're seeing is that those tax cuts have actually starved our public schools from the resources that they need. And I'm really worried, and people in my area are really worried about this next year with all the referendums that are likely to come, or, you know, if they don't pass or schools really, you know, don't want to continue to increase property taxes, what are they going to cut? The first thing is music and art and, you know, sports and all and musicals and all the things that enrich our children's lives and, you know, make them want to go to school as well and just make them more well-rounded individuals and then allow our communities to have things that we come together over. The musical sells out every year here. I have Elk Horns coming today. If we don't have a music program, there won't be kids who can play those instruments. We won't have the fundraisers at, you know, the festivals because there will be no music at those because our state is refusing to invest in cutting it. Same thing. We are have a dire workforce shortage, but we have a huge number of parents of young children who want to work, but they can't because they cannot afford and access childcare. Those of us in the field, those who are remaining in the field of childcare are struggling. Two more just announced their closing that have been open for over 20 years because they can't afford to keep going because they can't charge parents anymore. They're losing kids. I'm hearing now of kids at 5, 6, and 7 are going home. We're back to the latchkeys of the 1980s, and it's just not safe and it's scary and it does not have to be this way. So again, it isn't tax and spend. It's invest our money appropriately so that we recoup those loss, that we recoup that money and we grow our economy, we grow our communities, and we, you know, have our kids can come back to the small towns that they're vacating right now because there just isn't anything for them in there.
Yeah, and you've definitely made the link, not just for childcare to then K-12 education, but again, to small businesses. There are all kinds of employers that are practically begging the legislature to do something because they're losing too many good workers to this childcare crisis as well, and they want well-educated workers. So you're going to hear these themes and more from Corrine Hendrickson. Her website is corrineforseventeen.com. Corrine is C-O-R-R-I-N-E. CorrineFor17.com, and on all the social media sites, just put in CorrineFor17 as the handle, and you'll get her on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and more. Corrine, thank you so much for taking time to make your announcement with us this morning. We really appreciate it. Have fun with the horns at the announcement, and we'll talk again real soon.
Yeah, sounds good. Thank you so much for having me.
You bet. Pleasure seeing you, and best of luck as you move forward. Again, there are going to be primaries in several races here, so really keep that August date in mind if you plan to vote Republican or Democrat and get to know the candidates in your local community. We'll have our homeroom segment coming up in just a bit. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Eagle 1490 AM.
Does Trump's big bill end taxes on tips and overtime? No. President Donald Trump's new law exempts certain tip and overtime income from federal tax. But the deductions expire in 2028 and come with limits. Workers earning under $150,000 can deduct up to $25,000 in tips and $12,500 in overtime. Social Security, Medicare, and state taxes still apply. The Tax Policy Center says 2% of households will benefit from the tip provision, saving $1,800. The White House estimates $1,400 in average annual savings from the overtime deduction. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
You want to feel important.
You want to be part of something bigger, something that matters and can help change things.
You want to feel like you belong.
We know. We felt that way too. And that's why we did something about it.
We aren't just Army National Guard soldiers.
We are normal people just like you. But our part-time service in the Army National Guard means we get to be more.
When our communities are in need, we get the chance to stand up and do something about it.
We get to serve in our own region and help the people we call neighbors.
From the lake shores of Ohio, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Minnesota.
The fertile fields of Indiana, Illinois, and Iowa. To the wide open plains of North and South Dakota.
We are here for our hometowns.
And together, we can make a difference. Take on your legacy. Visit NationalGuard.com to find out more.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard, aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Every 15 seconds, someone is diagnosed with cancer. If it's happened to you or someone you love, the American Cancer Society can help at every step of the journey. Visit cancer.org today.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
Remember, you can sign up for our newsletters, upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe up in the top banner, and you can subscribe to Sunday Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, all about political news of the past week, and also our weekday version, which today includes a story on when you can expect peak fall color at your favorite Wisconsin destination. Travel Wisconsin is putting that together, and we have an article about that in the newsletter. Also an article about Wisconsin parents who are rightly concerned about the cuts that Donald Trump and Republicans want to make to Head Start, which is a critical link for vulnerable children to receive a good education. Again, that's in our newsletter. Sign up at upnorthnewswi.com. The Brewers were winners yesterday against the Los Angeles Angels. Final score was 9-2. Christian Yelich hit home run number 29. He had 3 runs batted in. Freddie Peralta struck out 10 over 6 innings. He won his National League leading 17th game. Peralta allowed only 1 run on 2 hits. He walked only 2. He struck out the side in 3 different innings. Brandon Woodruff will get the start in tonight's game 2 against the Angels. Pregame begins at 6:05 on several stations across the Civic Media Radio Network. Of course, the Packers are back in action this coming Sunday at noon against Cleveland. You can hear the pregame starting at 10 a.m. Sunday on some Civic Media stations. And the Wisconsin Badgers football team opens the Big Ten part of their schedule this Saturday. They will be hosting Maryland, and again, 9 a.m. for the pregame this Saturday on some of the stations of the Civic Media Radio Network. I guess we can tell the story now of Corrine Hendrickson's announcement, because she's mentioned a couple of different times how she wanted to kind of make it official here first, because it was on this show when she was talking about having to close her childcare center in New Glarus because of an unresponsive legislature, that she said something along the lines of, well, I guess I might just have to run for office. And as people got to talking about that, she said, well, I did mention it first on your show. We should probably share the final announcement here, the formal announcement. And I'm very thankful that she followed through and did, because the actual announcement will be at 10:30 this morning in New Glarus. But it was very kind of her to come share it with us today. Usually what happens is the announcement comes and then they kind of do the media tour afterwards. For example, Francesca Hong made it official in the 6 a.m. hour that she's running for governor. And now she will be joining us just over an hour from now at 8:35 to run for governor. Some of the reaction is already coming in to Corrine Hendrickson's run from Adam. Comment on YouTube: as a resident in the 17th district, I'm so happy to see the excitement to challenge the incumbent. That would be Republican Howard Markline. And Corrine talked about all the women running for office, three women now in the 17th Senate district, three women running for the Democratic primary in the 3rd congressional district. And Tony puts up typical lazy men not getting involved. For example, Pat refusing to run for governor. Shake my head, he says. Well, tisk, Parker, tisk. What do I do? Do I prove him wrong and make my own announcement?
Well, I mean,
and if I did, where would I do it? Would I do it on my own show, or would I give somebody else the scoop? I mean, Todd Alba, I'd probably announce Todd on Alba. His show.
Yeah, because it's not as much of a bang if you do it on your own show.
Right. I mean, people might think you're just goofing around. You show up on somebody else's show.
Yeah, and Todd Alba is he's a bang.
In fact, I could take it a step further. I could announce on all the different shows. I could announce I'm running for governor on Todd's show. Then I go on Maggie's show and say, I'm actually running for attorney general, because she's an attorney. So she could quiz me on that. And then the next day I join Jane and Greg and say, you know, on second thought, Secretary of State. That's it. So it's my thinking out loud tour. What should I run for tour of radio shows?
That actually could be quite the little
scam. Tony saying hard. Announcements come in threes, two so far. Yeah, quite possibly. And Eli says Corrine's explanation of spending in the right places hits the nail on the head. It absolutely does when she talks about those investments, because it is such a knee-jerk thing to hear Republicans go tax and spend, tax and spend, tax and spend. And they've lost all credibility on that with this most recent bill from Trump, the big bloated boondoggle. Because it's not cutting spending. It's cutting the things that you're paying your taxes for. It's cutting health care. It's cutting nutrition programs. It's cutting farm conservation programs. But it's not saving anything. This is literally just robbing from the poor and giving to the rich. And so the whole tax and spend, you know, deficit spending thing, Republicans have absolutely zero credibility anymore. They had credibility literally for decades in this era of Reaganism. But the record proves time and time and time again, they don't actually save any money. They cut services, they give tax breaks to the wealthy, but the only times, for example, that the federal budget has been under control has been with Democratic presidents. They're the ones who are more fiscally responsible, because they take our tax dollars and actually put them to use for us. Look at how this job market has softened so badly, so quickly. The difference between a Biden administration and a Democratic Congress that was making investments of our tax dollars into infrastructure and all kinds of other things versus now, all we're hearing is cutting and cutting and cutting, but we're not saving any money. It's just going to be tax cuts for the very well off. But I mean, what to expect from somebody who is really only focused on enriching himself and his friends, as the president is. And the last example I'll leave you with is this rumor that TikTok is finally going to have a new buyer and that it won't be a simply Chinese-owned company anymore. But it looks like the ownership is going to be from people associated with Oracle and other companies who are buddies with Donald Trump. And it's just more consolidation of the media. It's almost like what happened in Hungary with Viktor Orban. It's kind of the Orbanization of the media, where the companies are still going to, you know, take money from us, but they're going to bring more value to the billionaires who own them, because we have that much less competition out in the marketplace. Our homeroom segment is coming up right after the Midwest Farm Report. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matinee on Air.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report right here on 1490 WLCX. Well, Wisconsin schoolrooms are back in session, and this year it looks like a lot of students are interested in where their food comes from and agriculture education. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Wednesday. I've got some numbers for you on the strength of agriculture education in Wisconsin. That's next.
From sugar beet fields to dairy facilities, producers count on an operating line of credit from Ag Country Farm Credit Services to help make their operations more profitable. With multi-year commitment options, digital tools and remote deposit, and the ability to only borrow what you need when you need it, our operating line of credit makes financing your needs easier. Visit agcountry.com/line of credit or call 800-450-9858 to learn more. Terms apply. See website for details.
Sally Ladston is the Wisconsin Agriculture, Food, and Natural Resources Education Consultant at the Department of Public Instruction. She's also the state FFA advisor, and she says they're thrilled to announce that there's more FFA chapters starting up this year around Wisconsin.
We have seen a few chapters chartering, and actually that's something that's been kind of, I'll say, booming. You know, the numbers aren't staggering by any means, but compared to the past number of years, we're seeing quite an increase in chapters that are getting interested. This year, we're excited to welcome a couple of new chapters. Winnebago Lutheran is one, iForward, which is a virtual school up in Northwest Wisconsin. And then we're also seeing some changes in how chapters are structuring themselves.
Sally Ladston with the Department of Public Instruction and the Wisconsin State FFA advisor, she says, because of all the strength in students enrolled in agriculture education and food-related classes, they've needed, obviously, more educators. She said the good news is Wisconsin's got flexible alternative licensure options to keep those programs moving forward.
At the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection, they know your business has always been something special. Now you can let customers know it too, in an instant, with the red and yellow Something Special from Wisconsin sticker. Joining the program gives you access to supplier and distribution information, marketing support, and a community of like-minded Wisconsin businesses. Best of all, you'll let people know that your work is done with care, quality, and love. You've always been something special. Visit somethingspecialfromwisconsin.com to make it official.
And our Wisconsin entries did very well in the 2025 World Dairy Expo Championship Dairy Product Contest. 97 product classes they could enter. Congratulations to Lake Country Dairy Schumann Cheese as the grand champion winner in the cheese and butter category with their vanilla mascarpone cheese. Also, congratulations to the grand champion winner of ice cream, sherbet, frozen yogurt, and gelato. That's peanut butter chocolate ice cream from Kirshner's Super Premium Ice Cream in Chautauqua. You can see all the winners at MidwestFarmReport.com. I'm Pam Yonke. Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 1490 WLCX.
We do have a chance of scattered showers or a thunderstorm today, otherwise partly cloudy with a high right around 85 this afternoon. Tonight, a few scattered thunderstorms possible with a low dropping to around 63. Tomorrow, more scattered thunderstorms with a high of 82. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 66.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Ahoo, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, soybean crops are sitting in the fields. China not interested in buying. We're talking tariffs with James Vanderloo. I hope you can join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Boy, there's a lot going on today. 7:35. Welcome back. It's a Wednesday morning, September 17th. We just heard from Corrine Hendrickson announcing her candidacy for state Senate. 1 hour from now, we will be talking to State Representative Francesca Hong all about her run for Wisconsin governor, joining a growing field there. Tomorrow, we'll be talking to Trevor Young, who is a former Racine Alder who has just announced he's running for state Senate in the 21st District over in the Racine area. And if you can't catch all this live on the radio from 6 until 9, or social media, if you're watching on Facebook or YouTube, then you really ought to get this show by podcast so you can dip in and hear some of the highlights. So head over to Spotify. Sign up to follow the show or Apple, wherever you get your podcast, and never miss a moment of what we do. You can also get connected to all this through the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us. All right, welcome to our homeroom segment that we do every week at this time. Talk a bit about public education in Wisconsin and the things that impact it. A lot of those things come from the state capitol, and not just the state budget, which is all done now, but certainly all the other ways where lawmakers can introduce bills that are helpful or even harmful, as the case may be, depending on, you know, what people in the Assembly and Senate think of our public school system and what ought to be done with it. Somebody's got to track all these things. And for the Wisconsin Public Education Network, that would include our friend Bryn Horton, who joins us for a little update. Bryn, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. How are you?
Very good, thanks. Nice to have you along.
Yeah,
there's just always so much beyond the budget that could get done for our schools or to our schools, yes, as the case may be. So right now the fall legislative session is just getting going. We never really know just how busy or not busy they'll be at any given point. So there are bills that are introduced. Some may get a committee hearing. Some may go to the floor of the Assembly or Senate. Some may just be introduced and not come up at all. But you have to note that they've been introduced because, you know, these are things that conceivably could happen. So as you're looking beyond the state budget at what the legislature could be considering this fall, what kinds of things are you keeping your eye on?
Yeah, so I think the main thing that we're keeping an eye on, which I feel like the fall is always a time of hurried introduction of bills because they haven't really done much since the budget passed. But both sides of the assembly they haven't been formally introduced yet, but gave press conferences on packages of education bills that they're planning to introduce to the legislature. Soon, I would imagine they're getting co-sponsored, and so it's interesting to see the play between both of those sets of packages.
Do you want to run through like the highlights of each package, the Republican package and the Democratic package?
Yeah, and this is fully going off of the press conference, sure. Press conferences that I've listened to because I haven't seen the bill texts of them yet. But the Democratic side is introducing bills for healthy school meals for all, which has long been a topic that that the Democratic Assembly members have tried to get through in the last couple of sessions. There is a bill about voucher transparency and having the impact of those dollars on tax bills. And then also there is a bill around budget and financing and the things that they're trying to do to balance out the lack of funding that came in the budget. And then the Republican side, my understanding is there's a bill around math curriculum and changes to math curriculum. I'm sensing that might have some of the same type of connotations that Act 20 did for reading. That's the guess that I'm going from that one. And then a parents' rights bill, which is also a bill that they've tried to get through a couple times in the past. And then also some bill around school discipline and teachers being able to do what they need to do to help with student behavior. Since that seems to be a talking point across the nation of teachers not feeling like they have the ability to do what they need to do to control student behavior.
So those are just some of the things that you might see in the Democratic package of bills, in the Republican package of bills. Looking at some of the things that are on the Wisconsin Education Association Council website and things that they're following, you also see kind of the same, shall we say, division between the two parties, where one is looking to maybe enhance prep time for teachers, while another may be seeking to micromanage prep time mm-hmm. for teachers. And as we mentioned with Peggy Wirtz Olson from WEAC a couple of weeks back, I mean, some of these bills, again, they may not go anywhere, but just the introduction of them is noteworthy. For example, restricting the kinds of flags that can be displayed in public buildings like schools and in classrooms. There's always something about, cursive handwriting as well. And then on a slightly broader level, state testing standards. And so I really kind of feel like there's this tug of war, if you will, between micromanaging, our educators and giving them the resources and flexibility to teach our kids.
Yeah, it's, I think, interesting in the cross specs of local control and the way that Wisconsin school districts have been created to give school districts and local school boards local control. And yet they're constantly being given ways that they need to do things, even though that might not be something that works well in their local school district. And so I think that's a constant look, at least, is how are we making sure that school boards are being able to have their local control rights that they were given by the state statutes.
Mm-hmm. We also have, we talked about this recently. It was kind of news to an old guy like me that cell phone bans, I guess I just thought they were there and they're not. And it's become a hot discussion topic again. And I'm sure that I think there's at least one bill dealing with cell phone bans, and there will probably be others that you'll have to track in the Capitol as well.
Yeah. And that's an interesting, because I believe that the cell phone bills tend to have bipartisan support. And what I've heard from that is that because there are a lot of school districts that have their own policies, and what I've heard is that their hope is to, in order to pass a bill like that, that school districts then have the ability to be able to say, oh, see, it's not us. It's the state telling us that we have to do this. So when there's pushback, that they have something to fall back on, which I guess is a nice way of them thinking that that's good, that the state, that we can fall back on the state. But I do think there's still a need of that. There's a reason why we have that school districts have local control, because school districts mm-hmm. are so very different from each other across the state.
Yeah. We're talking to Bryn Horton, and she follows for the Wisconsin Public Education Network the various bills that get introduced at the state capitol that could have an impact on our schools and on your kids' education. And again, from the Republican side, we see just such a focus on issues that involve such a small percentage of what goes on in society, much less our education. In this case, I'm referring to various gender restrictions on participation in sports and other activities. That's another bill I'm assuming Republicans will try to bring up and push, even though they know that Governor Evers would likely veto anything resembling that.
Yes, that's absolutely true. And I do believe that there is a lot of talk about the fact that the Senate might not possibly go into any more floor sessions the rest of this year. Mm-hmm. And so even though, introductions happen and those bills will definitely get referred to committees and actually have public hearings, which doesn't happen for a lot of bills that could actually fix things or help things in the school districts. It's those dividing bills that get public hearings.
Right. They do. And I'm sure there will be something. There is a bill, of course, to require English only in schools. We talked about the flag display. There's another bill that would require, the national motto "In God We Trust" to be displayed in all courtrooms. Somebody just asked me yesterday, did that law really pass in Texas that requires the Ten Commandments to be displayed in every classroom? I'm like, yeah, that's a thing. And that which means it's going to encourage, some legislator in Wisconsin to try to do the same thing. So you're right. We're going to hear a lot of what you would call social issues or wedge bills or anything like that. Those seem the ones that get the public hearings and get some attention.
Yes, absolutely. And there's never any funding attached to those. So, we can display the motto in the schools, but it's going to cost the school districts money to have to do all of that stuff. And so that's the other part of it, too, that comes with is we can give us all these things to do and then don't give any money to be able to accomplish those effects.
Yeah, we just talked about this with Jimmy Kuska a couple of weeks back when we talked about scoreboards and how I did not know that there still wasn't a shot clock for high school basketball, but that's because every school would have to, not every school, but many schools would have to replace their scoreboard. They don't have the money to replace a scoreboard. So if they don't have money to replace a scoreboard, they sure don't have money to be putting up, religious symbols and mottos and things like that in our schools as well. And all of this, Bryn, really comes back to, a central theme of this segment, and that is providing our public schools with the resources they need. That includes the voucher transparency that we've talked about here. And by the way, the Wisconsin Public Education Network, just this week kicked off a public campaign to increase the transparency of the voucher program so that taxpayers know how much it really costs. So head over to wisconsinnetwork.org to learn more. But Bryn, again, it really is what you're hearing from the Democratic side is let's give schools the resources and the tools they need rather than more restrictions.
Yeah, definitely. Ways to be able to find more funding to be able to help close that funding gap that's going to be left with the budget. And the main one that I think that I'm really watching on the Republican side is that there is a bill to get rid of the $325 automatic revenue limit increase that the governor got passed into law through his partial line veto and then was upheld. But there is a bill out there to get rid of that now. And so that's the kind of thing that, the punishment that comes along with being able to get that, now we need to take that away, even though that's not actually more funding from the state.
Yeah, that's just it. Because of the creative use of the line item veto, you now have this per pupil adjustment locked in for, 300 years or whatever it is. But again, if you're not giving an increase in overall general state aid, it really doesn't mean much. But of course, that's what Republicans are going after. They're going after the line item veto rather than putting a focus on what can we do for our schools? What can we do for our kids? And I guess I'm not confident that a bill that would get rid of the 300-year extension will be accompanied by, okay, we'll do an extension for a couple of years. No, they'll just get rid of it entirely.
Yeah,
we have seen how that goes. There's also bills out there for everything from requiring civics education to tuition and fee remission for veterans and dependents, technical colleges leasing their facilities. There's just so many things that have to be followed in the Capitol, and Bryn Horton does that for the Wisconsin Public Education Network. Bryn, thank you so much for doing all of that and for taking some time to give us a little update this morning.
Absolutely. Happy to do it.
All right. Thank you, Bryn. Have a wonderful day.
Thanks. You too.
As we mentioned, it is a day of campaign announcements. Corrine Hendrickson announcing her run for state Senate earlier this hour. And then less than an hour from now at 8:35, State Representative Francesca Hong, newly announced candidate for Wisconsin governor, will join us to talk about why she has chosen to run for that office in 2026. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. A bipartisan bill banning members of Congress from owning or trading individual stocks has been introduced in the U.S. House. It appears the reform could pass due in no small part to a tax break sweetener just for members. For years, allegations have plagued members of Congress who allegedly traded stocks on the basis of inside information. The Brennan Center for Justice points to Senator Dianne Feinstein's February 2020 trades prior to pandemic-related market losses and Representative Rob Bresnahan's sale of hospital development bonds only a month after he voted to cut Medicaid and put those hospitals at risk of closure. September 3rd, Republican Representative Chip Roy introduced H.R. 5106, also called the Restore Trust in Congress Act, co-sponsored by Democratic Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and 15 others. The bill allows current members 180 days to divest of individual stocks, but allows investing in mutual funds, index funds, municipal bonds, and treasury bonds. But one critic writes in Forbes that the reform comes with a sweetheart deal, allowing members to divest and defer capital gains taxes until after they leave Congress, a huge gift to multimillionaire members. Both House Speaker Mike Johnson and House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries have signaled they will support the bill. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Hi, my name is Chuck Collins. I'm the great-grandson of the meatpacker Oscar Mayer and a member of the Patriotic Millionaires. I'm also the author of a new book, Burned by Billionaires, How Concentrated Wealth and Power are Ruining Our Lives and Planet. This summer proved to all of us that climate change is real and it is deadly. And I'm here to tell you that a small group of billionaires are making it worse. Did you know that billionaire Jeff Bezos' wife, Lauren Sanchez, emitted more carbon in her 11-minute Blue Origin space flight than the average person emits in a lifetime? Did you know that the average super yacht produces as much carbon emissions as 1,500 regular vehicles? And that private jets emit 10 to 20 times more pollutants per passenger than commercial airplanes? So who should pay for climate change? People like you who recycle and turn off the lights when you leave the room, or billionaires who take joyrides in space? Tax the rich, tax the rich, tax the rich. I'm Chuck Collins. I'm a patriotic millionaire, and I approve this message.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Kira Sabin, positive psychology midlife coach.
People cannot take away our joy. When I spend time with people I love, putting my time and energy in things that I love that I think are important, not much has really changed. If you are worried about LGBTQIA plus rights, go volunteer at that organization.
You know you're moving the cause forward, and that's great for our mental health.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app, as Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Coming up across the Civic Media Radio Network today, Matt Nair on Air follows this program. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach from 9 to 11, Bennett Goldstein, a reporter with Wisconsin Watch, will be joining them at 9:35 this morning. The Todd Allbaugh Show, you can catch that from 2 to 4 today, and then the Maggie Dawn Show from 4 to 6 at 5:06 this evening. In the 5 o'clock hour, General Russell Honoré will join Maggie to discuss putting the military into the streets of American cities. Also on Maggie's show at 5:30, we'll hear from State Senator Kristen Dassler-Alfheim about increases in health insurance premiums. And then you can hear Nightlight with Pete Schwabba from 6 until 8 this evening. Actor Mike McGill from Shameless will be joining Pete at 6:30 this evening, and comedian Greg Schwerm will join him at 7:20. All that ahead on the Civic Media Radio Network. Head over to civicmedia.us to learn more. There's also a podcast with Earl Ingram, and we'll talk to him about that in less than 15 minutes to see what's going on with the What's Going On podcast. But first, let's check in with Jimmy Koska from Civic Media, who's the sports director, follows some of the news stories around Southwest Wisconsin as well. Jimmy, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. You know, it's funny because we're sitting here mid-September, and I know it's the heart of football season and everything like that, but, you know, all anybody can talk to me about is the Milwaukee Brewers and what they've been able to do right now. And I got to tell you, it's quite the ride right now.
It's a very nice ride, and plenty of people have been able to enjoy that ride for free because, Parker, why? What are we doing one last time on Friday?
We're giving away free tickets.
Free Ticket Friday. That's exactly it.
Club yes. level
So again, if you don't have that Civic Media app, get that puppy downloaded and you'll be texting us keywords throughout the day this coming Friday, the final Free Ticket Friday of the Brewer season. After that, Jimmy, I'm thinking tickets get a lot more expensive as we move
on. Yeah, they get a little more expensive. That's when they start adding the auxiliary press box to AmFam Field. And, you know, it's a little harder to get into games. Can't just get in standing room only and sit there for, you know, $5 above the visiting bullpen and let them know how exactly you feel about them.
Yeah, nope, it doesn't work like that. But there will be October baseball, which is a nice thing. And I really am counting on the Brewers not just to get this bye and not be in the wild card round, but to advance beyond the division series. And, you know, look again, these are not household names for the Brewers. There's names I scarcely remember sometimes when they take the field, but I don't feel like we should also sell them short and say, well, you know, if they lose in the first round, that's how it goes. I think we can hold higher expectations of these guys from what I've seen.
Yeah, and the fact that too, that if they can stay ahead of the, you know, the Cubs, which they're up by 5 games, I think, this morning as we enter the day, 5.5 games with just a handful of games remaining, they can get that bye out of the wild card round. They don't have to worry about playing in that best of 3. Then they go right into the NLDS and, you know, and have home field advantage there. And they could have home field advantage too throughout the postseason, just given the fact that their record is so great. They are a few wins shy of the best record in franchise history. I mean, there's a lot of good vibes happening right now with the Brewers. And like I said, I know we're in the heart of football season, and, you know, everybody here in the company is going to talk to Mike Clemens about, you know, what the Packers are doing. We're going to see the Badgers, you know, coming up again against Maryland this weekend. But it is all about the Brewers at the moment in terms of what people are talking about sports-wise, which is really, really fun to see.
It really is. And by the way, when you say a handful of games, let me run through that for folks when they say, well, is it really the last Free Ticket Friday? Yeah, because there's only one more homestand after this one. You've got the Angels here tonight and again tomorrow night. But then the Brewers head off to St. Louis for 3 against the Cardinals, and then to San Diego next week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, for 3 against the Padres. And then they come home a week from this Friday for the final homestand of the season, 3 games against the Cincinnati Reds. And that's it. There's just these 11 games left in the regular season.
Yeah, and those 3 games against the Reds, what is fun about that is that they typically have a lot of fan-centered giveaways, fan appreciation night, things like that. So those last 2 games are actually pretty fun, even if at that point the Brewers have wrapped everything up. It's a lower stress atmosphere. There are still a lot of cool things they do at the end of the regular season to make sure fans stay engaged.
Well, let me tell you, this works out well for some folks that plan ahead. Even if it's accidentally. And what I'm saying is I got a college buddy who we try to get to one Brewer game every year. And we just couldn't pull it off. We just couldn't get the dates to match up as we were going through. And finally he's like, you know, we got to the last weekend of the regular season. And we said, okay, that's the one that's going to work. So we got tickets for that last homestand against Cincinnati. This was before the Brewers got real, real good. So we managed to get some discounted tickets for the last regular homestand. And we're going to have ourselves a grand old time because we planned ahead, or because we were accidentally lucky. We'll take either one.
You know what? It's better to be lucky than good sometimes. So I'm with you. It's so cool though, because, you know, there's, you hope that the series is low stress for the Brewers going into the postseason and that you can just enjoy the baseball atmosphere. But yeah, that last homestand, usually what you get is you get a handful of goodies to take home and put in your collection, as I've done, as you could tell here many times over the years.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. Look at that. That's a museum back there on your shelf of swag. And of course, you also root for the non-injury. You know, it's like, no, you don't need to make that diving catch. It's okay. Don't jam your thumb. You know, no compound fractures, please. We're heading into the playoffs. So every play like that is going to be a little nerve-wracking.
Oh yeah, for sure. And the other part too is I think the thing that you really watch is, you know, pitching and just seeing who lines up for the postseason and trying to figure out who's going to be the guys in the bullpen, be the guys of the rotation. Typically in those first couple of rounds, you're talking about a pitching staff carrying just 12 guys. They do allow you to carry up to 13, but usually that's not until the later rounds, the best of sevens, where that becomes an issue. So if you're looking ahead to the Brewers and their postseason roster, they'll be looking for the 26 guys. It'll probably be a 14-12 split in hitters to pitchers. But then as the playoffs go further, if the Brewers are fortunate enough to get to those points, that's where you would see them add the extra pitcher. So watching how the pitching staff and the rotation sets up for the playoffs is one of the more fascinating parts of MLB baseball.
Civic Media Sports Director Jimmy Koska, great to talk to you. Have a great day.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Jimmy. All right, coming up in our next hour, we will talk to Earl Ingram from the What's Going On podcast through Civic Media and new candidate for governor, State Representative Francesca Hong. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston, the president and first lady in the UK for an unprecedented second state visit. They took a horse-drawn carriage ride around the grounds of Windsor Castle with the King and Queen and the Prince and Princess of Wales. Tomorrow, the president will meet with the Prime Minister on economic issues. The man accused of murdering Charlie Kirk in court on Thursday, with more on what prosecutors said, ABC's Matt Guthman.
They have, they say, incriminating text messages in which he essentially confesses to the murder. They have an additional alleged confession, a note that he left under his keyboard and told his roommate slash romantic partner to go check out. And they have the family telling them that, yes, Tyler Robinson confessed to them, and that's why he turned himself in.
All eyes on the Federal Reserve at the conclusion of its two-day meeting today. It's expected to lower interest rates by at least a quarter point. This is ABC News.